Another prominent national college football writer says that BYU football is the most underrated team in America. Do we agree? What is the minimum threshold of success for BYU football in 2025? Is it actually college football playoff or bust for this version of the Cougars?
Quarterback Jake Retzlaff shares how he's handling expectations and why BYU needs to dominate games this season. And the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins the show from Kansas to break down where he expects Cougar football to improve this fall.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, May 9th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is an NFL Photography Awards vote counter, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, so we're tallying all the pictures and the votes, and Air Puka has won the NFL Photo of the Year.
Okay.
In the action category, the Action Jackson category. This was taken by Bryce Todd of the Rams.
Awesome.
This is a touchdown catch for your boy, Puka, against the Patriots. What a catch. Laying out, hauling it in for the score. What a great photo.
Look at the flowing hair out of the back of the helmet. That adds to the element of the action photo of
yeah,
the year.
It don't matter if you don't catch that ball.
The funny thing is,
and he caught the ball.
He did this like seven times this season.
Yeah, I feel like in the loss to the Eagles, he had one that was unbelievable against the sideline. Yeah, what a catch.
Puka doing Puka things and winning yet another award, albeit this one just in photo form. On that note, rise and shout. It's time for award-winning edition of What's Trending. 24/7 Sports has BYU football at number 22. Mark Schlabaugh now joins fun with football at number 10.
I'm really hungry just to get that Big 12 championship, hopefully win a natty. So.
It sounds crazy, but it's not crazy.
A lot of people didn't realize what we were going to be last year. I'd rather keep a little bit of the mystique.
Listen to this. CBS Sports reporter Shahan Jaraja made Big 12 football spring overreactions and specifically for BYU wrote that, quote, the Cougs are, in parentheses, still America's most underrated team.
Wait, so that's not an overreaction? That's just a reaction?
I have no idea how it works in his mind. He would have to answer that question. But this, along with Mark Schlabaugh presenting BYU as the number 10 team post-spring yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So we have an ESPN writer and now Shahan Jaraja of CBS Sports saying, hey, they're still underrated. Jerem, do you agree? Is BYU still being underrated as a college football team?
No, I don't think BYU should walk in higher than like 12th, which is amazing. I think BYU is in the 12 to 16 category, somewhere in there.
If you're preseason top 20, are you underrated?
Well, if you feel like you should be, you know, number 10, yeah. BYU was 11-2, outside the playoff, had a tremendous season, one of the better teams that didn't make the playoff. So you're probably in that 14, 15 range-ish, right? What I'm saying, 12 to 16. We've seen as high as 10, as mentioned, 14 with three different publications. If they were all 17-plus type rankings, I could see where, hey, BYU is still underrated. I'm seeing BYU properly rated around 14 in the middle of what I'm saying. So, no, I don't think they're being underrated. I do like the idea of BYU walking into the season feeling like they're being underrated. We've talked about that a
lot. Just tell them they're projected to play in the Independence Bowl, Jerem. That should do
absolutely.
The trick.
Yeah, I hope everyone says BYU stinks. They're going to win 8 games.
You're going to be in Shreveport.
No. Then BYU gets that motivation that we've seen them really thrive on. And Colorado was a great example of this. Last year was a great example of this. Many, many times, right? BYU is going to play, hopefully, every game as a ranked team this year. That is the hope and prayer, Spencer, this year. Now, you're a favorite in many of these games. Men's hoops, you're getting top 10, top 5 love. You're going to be a favorite in many of those games. How do the Cougars handle success? Because guess what? A lot of people talking about Brigham Young right now.
Certainly. But just for the sake of our guy, Shahan Jaraja, who has been on the program before, he's awesome, very, very well-informed and insightful reporter. Now, again, I was joking about BYU being projected to play in Shreveport. Like, that is actually out there.
Someone did. Yeah, we talked about it.
Have we seen BYU show up in any projection of college football playoff team next season?
I haven't seen a lot of general projections, period, about that.
I've seen a few. BYU's nowhere near that. While BYU is a projected preseason top 25 team, they are not in the college football playoff conversation. I am gathering he believes that BYU is a legitimate college football playoff contender.
I think most people believe they're a contender too, but whether you have them in or not is the question. I don't think BYU should be in. I think they should be in the mix. We're talking should. Should, like, if BYU was a one-loss regular season team last year, yeah, they should, and bring what they bring back, yes. But they were a two-loss team. They finished great. They were 11-2. They're in the mix. I think they're properly rated. I don't think they're overrated. I don't think they're underrated. I am completely whelmed.
We have right to now. See what BYU actually is when it comes to the Big 12 preseason poll, voted on by the coaches, and what the AP voters do with BYU in the preseason top 25. It's difficult to tell if BYU is being underrated until we see those two major polls.
I guess as currently constituted is the question, right?
Sure. That's what makes this an intriguing conversation.
They are rated properly.
I am anticipating that BYU is probably going to show up as number three or number four in the Big 12 preseason poll, which I get, but maybe Shahan thinks that that's a little bit too low. Maybe he thinks BYU is the Big 12 favorite or a top two team.
Yeah, I think he thinks very highly.
Yeah,
obviously.
So again,
I'm like completely satisfied with where this is right now.
Only he can answer those questions. But let's say BYU comes in at preseason number 20, I would feel a little bit like BYU is respected, but not really respected. Like if you're 20 in the preseason poll, people don't think you're going to make the college football playoff.
No, but
if you're like 14 to 16, then it's like, okay, now we're talking about a team that's on the cusp. And how many times have we said it this week? You think BYU is going to show up somewhere between 12 and 16?
12 and 16.
Okay. I'm a little lower. I'm like 13 to 18.
What do we actually want with this too, by the way? Because I want BYU to be ranked lower than they should.
You want them to be ranked worse than you feel they deserve.
So that they're ticked off.
I agree.
I want that.
I want them to come in at 18 or 19.
Yeah, I don't want BYU to be number 9.
No. Fourth in the Big 12.
Preseason's great for all the chatter and you're at work and you're hanging out at the barbecues and, hey, BYU, this is great. Like, we're experiencing that with men's basketball. With football, I want them to be ticked off going into the season being like, whoa. Yeah. We're number 19 and we're the fourth pick by the coaches? They don't know, but they're about to find out. Like, I want that situation again.
24/7 Sports got the memo. They have BYU ranked number 22.
Absolutely. In
that
fact,
is ideal.
BYU should be unranked in 24/7 Sports. They stink. That's the rhetoric I want. They're overwritten. No. Then BYU is motivated to where they go, no, we're going to do stuff again that you don't think we can do. And they're not going to exceed expectations to the point that they did last year. The only way they do that, Spence, is if they
get to the playoff.
If they win the Natty. Like, what BYU did from 5 to 11 wins, that jump was precipitous. It was amazing.
BYU can't win 17 games?
They could win 15 or 16 over the past few weeks.
Can't go plus 6 again?
That'd be crazy. We've had the chance to visit with BYU football players and coaches after spring practices, talk about handling expectations, heading into next season. Here's some of the responses we got.
I feel like the boys are hungry just because we didn't really get what we wanted last year. And I don't know, that's just, we're just feeding for it, so.
You know, we were so close to achieving something that no one even believed was possible, except for us, really, during that season. And so, you know, feeling how close that was and, you know, letting that slip, we gotta get back and go prove it again and really achieve what we know we're capable of.
You know, coming in as a dude who, or as a team who is no longer in the shadows, the mindset's no longer win, it's dominate.
Ooh, well like said that. By Jake Retzlaff. We'll hear that full conversation later in the show.
Yeah.
It's not just win games, it's dominate. And does BYU actually have the easiest or one of the easiest Power Four schedules? We have no idea. It's all based on last year.
Yes, and last year at this time, as we've said a little bit this week, last year looked hard and then it ended up being easier than we thought. Expectations are high, so let's discuss some minimum thresholds in the regular season. Again, not high end, not average, like minimum thresholds, using a few different categories, starting with, again, regular season, total wins. Give me the number.
Yeah, and
minimum.
And let's double down on that, because when we did this with basketball, people were like, oh, your expectations are so disappointingly low.
Minimum threshold of success.
Okay, we're talking the floor. We're not talking ceiling, floor.
It was a successful season. We're not saying it was the greatest season they could have had.
Yes.
What do you think?
You total have wins. To get to this mark to say, okay, it was
successful. Yeah.
Total wins for me, 9.
Agreed. 9-3. Yeah, you can't go worse than 9-3.
You have to, and that's probably regular season, right?
This is all regular season.
Okay.
We don't know.
So we're not throwing in.
Breaking news. We don't know who BYU is playing in the bowl game.
We're not throwing in the idea that BYU
A game we don't know the opponent?
Would win a ninth game in a bowl game and go 9-4. This is all regular season.
We don't know what the postseason will look like. More on that in a moment, by the way. The postseason could be very different.
9-3 in the regular season feels like a great place to put the bar for success.
Yeah, agreed.
They can certainly go higher. But if you get to at least 9...
If BYU's 8-4, I'm disappointed.
Come on.
Given what they returned coming back, what they expect to be, who they've added, you've got to be at least 9-3.
Jeremy, if you're 9-3 and going to a bowl game with a chance at a 10th win and another double-digit win season...
It's another good season, but we'll talk about is that good enough.
Okay.
Again, minimum thresholds. Big 12 finish.
I struggled with this one this morning. Because I'm thinking about everything.
You searched, pondered, and prayed about it?
Not exactly.
Okay.
I did think a long
time. You searched and pondered?
I did ponder about it.
No prayer.
No prayer involved in this specific question.
I don't think
God
cares about the Big 12 finish.
Cares about the individuals.
Yes, he does. Okay.
I thought about this. And I want to say, if you're one of the top four of the 16 teams, again, minimum threshold of success.
Top four.
But
same number.
I kind of want BYU to take the next step here.
Oh, okay. Minimum threshold would be what, top two?
Or top three, yeah, but top two feels like you're in the championship game.
I'm saying top four, because what if it's a four-way tie for first again? Are we going to argue that wasn't good enough?
No,
you lose
we
some
wouldn't.
Tiebreaker?
We wouldn't.
You lose some tiebreaker again? That'd be a bummer. I'm not saying we wouldn't be disappointed.
That's why I waffled. I'm like,
Oh, waffles.
They did that last year. Yeah. They were top
waffle love, dude.
Four so team. Good. Top four in a 16-team conference is always great.
Yeah. Agreed. Same
so
number.
So, that again, I probably fall to that, but I would love to see him take the next step and get to at least the championship game.
Right. Okay, national ranking. I go top 20. If you're inside the top 20, minimum thresholds we're talking
about. At
the
end of the season.
End of regular season. This is all regular season.
End of the regular season.
Top 20.
Yeah, I said 18.
It'd be obviously, again, I'm going to repeat. We're not saying if they're 19th, that was great. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying.
Successful.
Was it a minimum threshold?
How do you not call if BYU finishes third in the Big 12
BYU's
and they go 10-3
yeah.
and they're ranked number 18, how can we sit here and be like, terrible?
We're not at the point where we can expect a one loss or zero season realistically.
Can BYU as a Power 4 team go back-to-back double-digit win seasons?
That's
that
what
would
we're
be
hoping
remarkable.
For. Yes, that's what we're hoping for. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
College football playoff or bust, question mark? given the rhetoric around this team, Spence, and what they hope to accomplish, is it? College football playoff or bust? This is an aggressive question.
In their minds, I believe it is.
Based I agree. In their minds.
How Jake Retzlaff and all of those guys we just played sound bites from for you are talking, they feel like they are good enough to get to the college football playoff. If they don't get there will be significant disappointment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They felt like they were this close last year.
Yep. In my mind, no. Again, I'm not going to call a potential 9-3 regular season a bust.
No.
It's
no.
so hard to win college
in a
football
power
games.
League, we're still new to this. This is year three. We can't walk in, do 1 year of stuff, and talk too big. We got to do it again. That's my fear is, as much as we've made fun of Utah for talking big and then not showing up in 1 year, it was 1 year. You got to do it again. You got to do it again.
And BYU brings back a lot from the team that went 11-2.
They expect to be very good.
Which is why they feel so confident.
Yes.
But they are in that unique territory, Kalani Sitake told us in Idaho Falls and in St. George, where, we'll still probably be a little underrated, which is exactly where we want to
be. Because they've only done it once.
Mm-hmm.
They've only done it once. That could have been a flash in the pan. If BYU goes 8-4, that's a good season, but last year was the anomaly, not the average or the new norm. We hope the new norm is, BYU's competing for Big 12 titles.
Yeah.
And they've got a ton of talent. It's year three of Jay Hill, and they've got continuity with the senior quarterback and the same OC. And a lot of the skill position players are back, and a trio of a duo of linebackers that are NFL guys. All this stuff is very exciting.
Okay, let's finish with
this.
But
it's not college football playoff for bust, I agree.
Six games at home.
Yep. Portland State, Stanford, West Virginia, Utah, TCU, UCF.
What is the minimum threshold of success at home?
5-1. 5-1. Got to go 5-1
or better.
As
the one loss is not to Utah, I agree.
Correct. What is the loss? Because if it's not Utah, West Virginia.
Maybe TCU goes on a heater.
Josh Hoover throws for 400.
Josh Hoover's a good quarterback.
UCF. I think these are all very winnable. Like, BYU obviously, should. Utah's a tough game no matter what Utah is.
I know in comes Rich Rod. He's back in West Virginia.
Oh, he's back, baby!
Scott Frost is back at UCF! Oh,
that's, yeah, that is fun. I hadn't connected those dots on they are coming to Provo this year. That's great.
But,
Stanford, by the way, blow those fools out, man. Do it again.
Like BYU needs to win at least five. Again, I'll settle for 5-1 at home as long as the one loss is not to Utah. Then I'll be like, okay, that was successful.
Who would you be okay with then?
Maybe TCU. Or maybe West Virginia is weirdly awesome.
Well, hold on. Graphics. I got an issue with you. The quest for perfection. What are we doing?
Also, it says at UCF final game. Not at UCF. The game is in Provo.
Okay? Well, I didn't mean to call out an incorrect thing. I meant to call out the title.
UCF in November. You think the Knights want to come to Provo on November 29th?
It's the Cougs.
It literally will be Scott Frost.
Nice. Robert Frost, pretty good Frost, too. I don't even know if Scott's the best Frost.
5-1, as long as the one loss is not to Utah. Let's go.
Quest for. What are we doing? You guys weren't around in 08. If you're a freshman, you're what, 19? You were 2 years old? You don't know the pain of those stupid shirts.
Oh.
Many fans still have that shirt, by the way.
I do not. I never owned one. Happy to report that.
I might have had one. I think I destroyed it.
As soon as it went sideways.
the loss to TCU. 32
ignite
to
it!
To 7?
Burn it down!
No more quest for perfection on the graphic. What are we doing? It's May 9th. Whatever.
Our question of the day. CBS sports reporter Shahan Jayaraja called BYU football the most underrated team in the country. What in the world are your expectations for this underrated or properly rated BYU football team in 2025? At Puka Jimmer on X says 10 wins and another ranked finish. Pretty close to where we have our
sights.
That'd
be another awesome season. Obviously, we want some Big 12 title contention there. Yeah.
At KR Mercer 25 on X answers, BYU was so close to participating in the expanded playoff schedule last year. If we fans are expecting improvement, BYU's got to expect a playoff bid.
It's a little much for me. Mine's not playoff. Mine is get to the Big 12 title game. That's the next step for me. It's if you do that, now you've got a real chance.
You just have to win one game to have an auto bid into the playoff.
Right. And we're hoping that it's a two-bid league. It was not last year. Okay, yesterday Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reported, speaking of, that after a meeting between the Power Four Conference commissioners, there's growing support from the Big Ten and SEC, who apparently run college football, for multiple automatic qualifiers for the college football playoff, which could be expanded to 16. SEC, Big Ten would get 4, ACC, Big 12, 2, one group of 6 team, and then 3 at-large. Do you like this?
Not really. I hate that the power brokers are so swayed toward the two conferences. I don't know why the SEC and Big Ten are so afraid of just allowing the top 16 teams in the country, whoever they are, wherever they come from, to get into the college football playoff. I don't care if you bring back the BCS rating system to rank the top 16.
I do.
Some form of it.
It can be a data point.
Whatever. Okay? Like, just something. Like, compile a bunch of numbers, have a football net rankings, and then use the top 16 teams. I believe that more often than not, the SEC and Big Ten will have 3 or 4 teams in the top 16 naturally.
They would produce 8 teams probably anyway. Yeah.
What I don't want is for Missouri, as the 4th best SEC team, ranked number 19, to have an auto bid into the playoff.
This last year would have been Ole Miss or South Carolina.
I don't like that. And same could be said for even the Big 12. I know that we like the Big 12 because BYU's in the Big 12.
We don't like it. We love it.
We're the proponents of it. But if there's only one team in the top 16 and the second best team is Arizona State and they're 21st,
Or Brigham Young.
Frankly, I don't think they deserve to be in the top 16 in the college football playoff. If you can't get in the top 16.
Yeah, I don't like the auto-ness of that. I wouldn't mind like 2-2-2-2 for the
I'd
four.
Be
Everybody
fine
gets
with
2 at least.
3 SEC, 3 Big Ten, and then 2 for the ACC and 2 for the Big 12, one group of 6, and then 5 at large.
Yeah. It does stink to like publicly acknowledge like not on the field. Oh, SEC and Big Ten, you're not just better on the field, which they are. You hold the cards so powerfully but that you just dictate 4. What could be interesting here is if they go that direction, which I believe that wouldn't be for this fall. It's too quick a turnaround. I think this is for, 26?
I do like 16 teams.
Or in the future? Yeah, I love 16. I want 16. Because then BYU has a better chance to make the playoff. Like last year, BYU would have been in probably if it was 16, which is great.
If you can't get in the top 16 of your own merit, it shouldn't be there.
And real quick, there's this idea that in your conference, you could have semifinals and then winners just get those bids. So, for example, let's say BYU was the 2 seed in the Big 12. Last year, they would have played the 1 seed. They would have played Arizona State again. In a semifinal, winner gets one of the 2 bids in this format. That's kind of fun. I like that idea. So you don't have a Big 12 champ. You have a who's repping from the Big 12 out of these 2 semis.
It's a playoff to get into the playoff.
Yeah. I think that's great. That's fun.
More games. More money.
I'm not arguing against more games because I'm not the one making tackles.
Yeah. All right. Timeout on football. Let's bring back college basketball.
This is really fun.
Gary Parrish made news yesterday on the show when he put BYU at number 3 in his preseason top 25.
Gary Parrish helping us out.
Okay, so the CBS Sports guys, Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander, did a college basketball starting 5 fantasy draft. Both A.J. DeBonsa and Richie Saunders were picked.
Hey!
Gary Parrish picked Richie Saunders on his team, and Matt Norlander took A.J. DeBonsa number 2 overall. J.T. Toppin was the number 1 overall pick by Gary Parrish, by the way.
Big 12,
of Texas Tech.
What's up?
So, 2 BYU guys show up. Is this proof that BYU will have 2 preseason All-Americans?
I don't think so. We talked about it yesterday. We love us some Richie Saunders. I think Saunders complements a team like this if you're having a fantasy draft.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was the 9th overall pick by Gary Parrish is pretty awesome. He thinks very highly of Richie, which, hey, we do too here. Yesterday I said, hey, I think he's a top 50 player in college basketball, which is awesome. Gary Parrish says him as a top 10 player, apparently. That's amazing.
Maybe
A.J.
DeBonsa,
2 second player pick.
Maybe Gary Parrish thinks that Richie Saunders is a preseason All-American.
By this metric, it's not exactly this, but would he put him around a second team All-American? That's pretty significant for Richie. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they do 3 different All-American teams in the preseason?
Depends who you ask. And there's so many media outlets. Yeah.
AP does 3, so I could see Richie Saunders showing up. If they do 3, I could see Richie and certainly A.J. as preseason All-Americans. Now,
AJ will be guaranteed. It's just whether Richie touches like a third team.
I would put Richie Saunders as a third team All-American coming back. Yeah. I think that's totally fair.
To me, that's amazing. It really is. Like, Richie's awesome, but there's a lot of good, there's thousands of college basketball players. I have Richie as a top 50 guy, which is fantastic.
I love that
if he's on a third team, that's amazing.
I love that we're in this reality. We're having this conversation.
I don't really care to argue how good Richie Saunders is. We know he's awesome.
He's an NBA
it's
player.
It's BYU Dan. TV. We love Richie.
He's a future NBA player.
Yeah. Where in the NBA? What round? Is he undrafted? Is he two-way? Is he what? I'm excited to see the watch that journey.
Raise that stock.
After game 1, the Cougars in baseball beat Kansas.
Come on!
Nice. Looking to take the series tonight at Kansas, 7 Eastern, BYU Radio, ESPN+.
It's a good Kansas team. Make the Big 12 tournament. Kansas is top 4 baseball team in the conference. Up next, our conversation with BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff from the St. George Fan Fest. So many gems, verbally speaking, in that interview. How is he handling expectations that you are setting for him? This is BYU Sports Nation.
For the end zone touchdown, Jake Retzlaff.
Man, we were doing it right, so now let's push the envelope even more. We don't want to hang around with anybody else.
Retzlaff is just the king.
We're understanding we're growing in different ways together. It's leave no doubt.
We are live on a Friday in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. If you couldn't tell, Jake Retzlaff does not shy away from showing his brash, some people view it, cocky attitude. But frankly, you want that in your quarterback.
Yes, I do.
We spoke with him recently at the BYU Fan Fest. He discussed season expectations and why he's embracing the idea of BYU taking the next step.
And joining us now is the BYU quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, who is with us to celebrate with the fans as well. Jake, good to have you back on the show. And I'm hoping you had an opportunity to get out and play golf with the other guys.
Yeah, we had some fun, man. Beautiful course up there and up here and down here in sunny St. George. It was awesome. It was windy to start the day, and we were like, no, not one of those days. And then it just died down towards the end, so a little wind. But by the end of it, it was beautiful. I mean, unbelievable course up at the ledges. Had a lot of fun.
What is this offseason like compared to last offseason, where everybody had BYU picked low and nobody was paying any attention. And now it's the exact opposite for the team, for you personally, just night and day from a year ago, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, a big difference. I mean, for me, the biggest thing is like, I'm actually, this is the first time not in a competition, right? So it's a totally different mindset, but I mean, not really at the same time. Like, at the same time, it's pushing myself to develop and get better and be the best every single day. But it's kind of more fun for the veterans to be able to go after it and be like, we know what the standard is. We know what we expect. And now we have to hold it. The thing we say in the quarterback room is the hardest thing about the standard is you are the standard. And so you got to go out there and do it every day. And it's been super fun to challenge other veterans. It's super cool, like, be able to be in practice, be in workouts, and, like, have the veteran, the leaders in the beginning, you know, whether when it's Bruce Mitchell and Waylon yelling at Keanu Tanavas, like, all the leaders going at it, it gets everybody else fired up and gets practice really good. And now is that dead time of year, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, coming in as a dude who, or as a team, who is no longer in the shadows, the mindset's no longer win, it's dominate.
Jake, there have been a couple of key departures. Keelan Marion, wide receiver, Harrison Taggart on the defensive side, linebacker. BYU's working to bring in some other pieces. But from what we've gathered, you feel like the core and the team are still together in spite of what are considered notable departures. So how do you perceive that all? Because they're your friends. You want the best of them individually, but they're no longer with the team. So how do you handle that all?
Yeah, it's a brutal process. You know what I mean? Like, those guys, I love those guys to death. I wish they could stay. I wish the best for them at the same time, like you're saying. But I do believe that we have retained our solid core, our solid individual. This group, I mean, a lot of those guys are here today. Get to hang out with them, like, you know, hanging out with Jason Parker. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball with, you know, Jack and Glasgow showing up. It's fun to be able to have that core back. And like you say, we're going to miss those guys. I love those guys. I hope the best for them. But the Cougs are going to be good. We got our solid core. We got the leadership core is sticking around. In that perspective, no leaders have decided to just kind of take off on us. Everybody is bought in, and it's cool to see that. It's in this new age, it's so uncertain that you really actually don't know what's going to happen next. And so being a part of that leadership group, that leadership committee, knowing that you're looking around and all those guys didn't hit the portal, and now Keelan led in a lot of ways, and so did Harry. But when it was the actual leadership group, like, none of those guys left. And we're like, well, our leaderships are bought in and are ready to go. And that just trickles down to the rest of the team. And so that's why we retain so much of we have. And, you know, we'll find the pieces we need. But right now, I love the group we got.
Even when things were going really, really well last year, I know that as competitors, you always want to get better. There's always something you can get better at. So if you want to take that next step, that next level, what does that next level look like for this offense, do you think?
Well, like I said, we're no longer trying to win games. We're trying to dominate games. We're trying to score every possession. This is something in high school that got, you know, stamped into my brain was score every possession. And, like, I'm saying that to guys. And I said that at halftime of Oklahoma State, and we went out and scored every single possession in the second half against Oklahoma State. And so that is our goal as an offense. We are going to score every possession. It's do your 1-11th at the same time. It's we can't score 30 points on one play. It's making sure we're taking every play for what it is, something that Steve Young has, you know, guided me down that path where it's like, every single play matters, and what doesn't matter is the last play. No matter what, that last play actually doesn't matter anymore, whether it was good or bad. It's about this play right now, and that's the mindset that this team's going to have, and offensively, we're taking big strides towards that, and that starts with the leaders.
Jake Retzlaff fully anticipates that he is going to be near the top of all of the Big 12 quarterbacks in major statistical categories, awards. Like, he does not shy away from any of that, Jerem.
And I love that ambition. That's great. Say it out loud. Manifest it, right? Last year, he was 7th in efficiency in the Big 12, 7th in pass yards, 8th in passing touchdowns. My hope for him is he's top 5 in all those categories. I'd like to see him go up to be a 65% passer. I want to see 3,300-plus pass yards. I want to see 30-plus touchdowns, 10 picks or fewer. If he's saying the H-word, Heisman, with his season, then you got to put up some digits. So I'm excited to see it. Did BYU rely on Jake Retzlaff to win a ton of games last year? I would argue no. Was he clutch in several moments?
In the two-minute drill, they relied on him heavily.
Yes, but there were several games where special defense, special teams, efficient offense with shorter fields did the job. That was a great model because you don't ask a single person to have to win you the game. Jake did a good job. I want to see him do a very good or great job this next year. Does that mean they need to rely on him a little more? Not necessarily, because I want him to be explosive, yet take care of the ball on offense. There's a delicate balance there.
There are three numbers for me that would show a clear step forward. Completion percentage, and I put it at 64%. If you can go up 6%+.
That's a big jump.
Yes. He's capable of that.
He did not complete enough, high enough percent for me last year. I think he can do more.
64%, yeah. And I'd love a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio.
That's what I had too.
26-to-12, not quite there. But if you are 30-and-10, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Right.
Okay, if you miss any interviews like the Jake Retzloff one, you can watch the full conversation on BYUSN.com and the BYU TV app.
Still to come, BYU baseball. We noted it. Got a big win on the road. We'll go into the details of that. Plus, who has BYU's A.J. DeBonta ranked as number 2 as a recruit? What? This is BYUSN.
We act like that's bad.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Friday headlines.
Yesterday, Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reported that after a meeting between the Power Four conference commissioners, there is growing support from the Big Ten and SEC for multiple automatic qualifiers for the college football playoff, which could be expanded in the future to 16 teams, 4 for the SEC and Big Ten, 2 for the ACC and Big 12, 1 group of 6 team, and 3 at-large. A decision is expected over the next month or two, according to Dellinger.
I love 16 teams. Don't like that half of them would be auto bids for the SEC and Big Ten.
Just earn it.
They can do it!
Yeah.
BYU's A.J. DeBonta was ranked as the number 2 prospect in the 24/7 Sports final recruiting rankings behind only Kansas signee Darren Peterson. Number 2? What? DeBonta was ranked as the number 1 prospect, according to ESPN and On3's final recruiting rankings. It's more like it. BYU's Xavion Staten ranked number 37 and Chamberlain Burgess number 98 in the final rankings from 24/7 Sports as well.
3 in the top 100. Burgess going on a mission first. Baseball picked up a much-needed win last night, beating Kansas 7-5 in Lawrence. Closer Ashton Johnson pitched 4 hitless innings to earn his 3rd win of the season.
Wow.
With the win, BYU holds on to 12th place in the Big 12 standings with 5 games to go. Bat Cats in action tonight for Game 2 against the Jayhawks, with coverage beginning at 7 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
4 hitless innings is not a phrase we have mustered often for this BYU baseball team.
Unless your name's Justin Sterner with the A's.
We'll get to that in a moment. BYU softball lost to Iowa State 4-2 in the second round of the Big 12 tournament last night in Oklahoma City. The Cyclones are on a heater. BYU caught in the mix. This hurts BYU's chances of making the NCAA tournament. They are squarely on the bubble again. The NCAA selection show set for Sunday night, 7 Eastern on ESPN2. Their RPI is 47, just right where it's a coin flip, Jerem.
Hopefully they make it. Speaking of softball, freshman Elovea Brittingham was named to the NFCA National Freshman of the Year top 10 list yesterday. She's legit. She was also named All-Big 12 First Team, and she was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year.
We just mentioned his name. Former BYU pitcher Justin Sterner, ranked as the 9th best rookie in all of Major League Baseball so far this season. That according to the Fox Sports rookie ranking. Sterner is one of only 2 Major League Baseball pitchers who have not allowed a single earned run with more than 15 innings of work on their resume this year. That's of all Major League Baseball pitchers, not just the rookies.
It's incredible. Ronnie Jones-Perry, shout out Copper Hills High School, was named to the U.S. Women's Volleyball Nations League 30-player roster, which will compete in June and July. This is RJP's 2nd appearance on the VNL roster, having previously represented the red, white, and blue in 2023.
And finally, BYU men's lacrosse lost to number 1 seed Liberty in the MCLA semifinals yesterday in Round Rock, Texas, falling short of defending last year's national championship. They had a great club program. Still on the way, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins us from Kansas to discuss BYU baseball's chances of making the Big 12 tournament and where he believes BYU football will clearly be better in 2025. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Have done it! 10-5 and touchdown! The game is over!
As Isaiah Glasker picks it off, and BYU has won this game.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B on a happy Friday. Joining us now over Zoom from Kansas, the Sunflower State, Greg Wrubell, the voice of the Cougars, where he is calling BYU baseball against Kansas. A win last night for the Batcats. We'll get to baseball in just a moment, Greg. But first and foremost, how you feeling this lovely morning as you join us from Kansas?
Fit as a fiddle. Thank you, guys. Great to be with you from the Sunflower State.
BYU just wins in Lawrence. What are the vibes like given 2 years ago men's basketball got a notable win there too?
Yeah, the vibes are immaculate. And if in fact, BYU baseball has never lost a game at Kansas. They went 3-0 here in 2016. So 4-0 all time at Hoagland Ballpark against the Jayhawks. We know what happened with basketball. And football won't play KU this year, but I think they go to the new stadium, the expanded stadium, next season, if I'm not mistaken.
Greg Rebel is on BYU Sports Nation from Kansas. We just listened to some iconic calls as we have been recapping the BYU football season and enjoying and celebrating just those epic moments. If you could summarize what it was like to call the entirety of last BYU football season, what was that like for you emotionally?
Well, yeah, I think emotional is a good word because at 9-0, you're on the precipice of going to the Big 12 championship game and possibly getting into the playoff. And then to have the last four regular season games go or the last three regular season games go the way they did was tough, right? Because you were so close and just needed one win in those two games, right? The Kansas and the Arizona State games. And not even getting past Houston in that final week was enough to get BYU to Arlington. And then, of course, you bounce back off the disappointment and have the great dominant bowl win over Colorado to finish on a high note. But I think being so close, knowing how near they were to Arlington, could push this year's team over the top. Certainly, you know, taken on its face, 11-2 is an outstanding season. A third double-digit win season in the last five for Kalani. So 11-2 taken by itself, outstanding. But when you're 9-0 and you're that close and don't get there, that's got to be a motivator for these guys. And so I think, again, maybe step by step, the progress goes in the Big 12. The first year, they weren't super competitive. The second year, they were good enough to be a tri-champion and that close to the title game in Arlington. And maybe year three, having had those previous 2 years of experiences, pushes them over the top this year. That would be my hope.
So what do you feel like is the minimum threshold for success for this team? Because we both said in the A block, hey, they got to go at least 9-3. But certainly, like you mentioned, for them, I feel like they feel like we need to get to the Big 12 title game to take that next step. And obviously, they've talked about wanting to be in the playoff as well.
I think getting to Arlington is the natural next step, being as you were that close and you were a regular season tri-champion last year. So I don't want to say minimum standard because that's still a pretty lofty goal. But I think because they were on the edge, knowing they're not that far away, and as many pieces are back for BYU this year, and you add a senior quarterback into the mix, you know, why can't the sky be the limit for BYU this year?
Greg Rebel is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's talk expectations, not just for football, but a little bit for basketball, who this week, according to Gary Parrish, show up as the number three team in his preseason top 25. BYU's littered all over notable preseason polls at 3, 5, 6. I mean, we've seen as low as 8 or 10, but we're talking about 8 or 10. These are historic preseason numbers, Greg. So where do you believe BYU will actually show up and deserve to show up when the season begins, basketball-wise?
Well, it sounds like top 10 is going to be the norm if you canvass the people who are doing these projections. And this is kind of rarefied air for BYU, right? You know, the Cougars have always been that team that you know, never get ranked early and have to grind so hard just to get into the polls, and it usually happens kind of late in the year, even with good basketball teams. So this would be new for BYU. Being on the radar this early means you can stay on the radar with enough wins. And the way that BYU is scheduling, you don't have to win every game to stay on the radar and stay ranked. And so this will be a unique situation for BYU that way. They've always been, again, that grinder that pops up late. And now they're going to be that team that I think is right from the get-go on the tip of everybody's tongue in the college basketball world. And the scheduled games are there to keep them in marquee positions. The talent appears to be there to win enough games to get back in the tournament and contend for a Big 12 championship. So this is already, I think, shaping up to be a year unlike any we've seen for BYU men's basketball.
Yeah, cannot wait. In terms of football and preseason poll, 10 is the high, 85. They win the Natty, they're preseason 10, which is actually pretty disrespectful. We would never see that now. It's weird. They'd be top 5, top 6. And the second highest is 16. I think we're going to see the second highest ranked preseason team ever from BYU football. And they have to sustain the success. What do you feel like is sustainable from how BYU went 11-2 last year?
Defensive numbers, I think, are sustainable. I think with Jay Hill and his system in place and enough of his guys back, you know, it still be tough to lead the nation in picks again, right? They had 22 interceptions last year. But as a whole, BYU's defensive profile, I think, can be maintained. The only area, and you could argue that this is maybe part of Jay Hill's tactics to an extent, but I still think he'd like to see better sack and TFL numbers. You know, they were 100th or worse in those two categories where everything else excelled. Again, first in picks, third in pass efficiency defense, third in turnovers gained. They were top 20 in scoring, top 20 in yardage, excellent defensive numbers across the board. The only area they lagged were those pressure numbers and TFL numbers. And that may be something Jay wants to see an improvement from this year, but it's really the only place they can go anywhere defensively because they were so good everywhere else. Even though Keelan Marion's a loss, Parker Kingston is back, and I think K-pop special teams group will be good again. Theron and Vanderhaar, you set it and forget it with those guys. The most room to move, Jerem, I think, comes on offense. They were good last year offensively. You know, they were 40th in scoring. They were top 60 in yardage. But the third down numbers lagged. Now let's issue the caveat there. Aaron Roderick looks at the third down numbers not independently. He looks at them in conjunction with fourth down numbers. And so while BYU ranked very low in third down conversion at 97th, they were fifth nationally in fourth downs. And so those downs are kind of taken together. They're somewhat of a package deal for A-Rod. So let's not focus maybe too much on the third down and realize there is some room to grow there. But I think the other opposite numbers were good to average. They have more room to move, I think. And I think with Jake Retzlaff at the helm, a senior quarterback, I would expect to see the most improvement for BYU come on the offensive side of the ball because the defense was already so good and special teams were already so solid, and they were an 11-win team. And so, again, you're already talking about operating at a really high level, but I think there's a little more push that BYU can get on the offensive side of the ball.
Greg, you were just talking about how BYU basketball will benefit from a preseason ranking and just not having to work and push and grind to get into the rankings and get national attention. They're just there. Well, if BYU football starts high enough, let's say they show up somewhere between 16 and 20 in the preseason polls, and they don't have to work into the rankings later in the season, how do you believe that could change the dynamic of how the nation views BYU and national respect and being a college football playoff type team?
Yeah, I think it kind of hinges on making sure you get to Boulder at 3-0, all right? And that means beating Portland State, beating Stanford, both at home, and then going to ECU and taking care of business there. That way, you're going to be high enough that you can lose a game early in the Big 12 season and not have it take you totally off the radar. So I think a solid start is imperative for BYU, and then they can kind of stay in the mix. But ultimately, I really do. I'm kind of like Arlington or bust this year. I kind of think that's going to be the key for BYU. If they're a team in Arlington, they're going to be, you know, a team that can be expecting to play in the playoff this year.
We talked about Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports reporting that, hey, conversations have been happening about a potential future 16-team playoff. There would be two auto bids from the Big 12. Mm-hmm. In that case, there's even been conversation, Greg, about, okay, the one versus the four, the two versus the three, those two winners go. Do you like that idea? It increases BYU's chance that they don't have to be just the Big 12 champ. They could be one of the top two, perhaps. How do you feel about that potential scenario?
Yeah, I think the thing I like most, though, Jerem, is that last year I felt like the Big 12 was a victim of narrative, and that no matter what the league was going to do, they were going to be stuck into a place that was determined the league was deserving of. And I thought they deserved more than they got last year. So I know there's a lot of people taking issue with the fact that half of the 16 teams would be out of the Big 10 and the SEC automatically. But I actually do like the fact that you're guaranteed two spots. If this system goes forward, you're guaranteed two spots every year. And with the chance to get another in as an at-large, right? So I think that's not a terrible place to be. If you consider where BYU was, right, in the hinterland of independence, going from there to being in a league that's guaranteed multiple bids into the playoff, I think it's not a terrible place to be. Yeah, you'd love to be the SEC. You'd love to be the Big Ten. But you're not. But you can be the next best big league. And who knows if this many power conferences exist 5 years from now. Yep. Either way, I think Brett Yormark and the league's well positioned, and I'm not going to quibble with the two right now. I think it's better than BYU was, and better than where the league was even just last year when I felt again there was a narrative kind of pushing the wrong way for the Big 12. So take the two and try and be good enough to get another at large in there if you can. But based on where BYU in the league maybe was to where it could be, not the worst thing in the world.
I do love the idea of 16 teams, of expanding from 14 to 16. That I think that is a great move, and it should happen. Okay, we got to talk baseball because you're there calling baseball. Greg, how do you feel about BYU's chances after winning at Kansas last night and taking a game from Kansas State last week of getting into the Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, so they maintain solo 12th, which is huge because they don't want to be, they can't be tied with either UCF or Utah because both of those teams own tie breaks over BYU. So you want to make sure you're ahead of both of those teams. They're at 8 conference wins right now. I think 11 would certainly do it. 10 might do it. And it's just your scoreboard watching, right? You're trying to see how UCF finishes and how Utah finishes, but. You know, Trent Pratt has been so adamant about just, you know, taking care of your own business, not needing to rely on someone else. But last night was a huge step in that direction. I mean, games are not easy to take from Kansas. Now, that said, KU has suddenly hit a little bit of a funk. They lost all 3 games at home last weekend to Cincy, a Cincy team, by the way, that BYU beat for its lone Big 12 series win this year. So KU's now lost 4 in a row, and they threw their ace last night, and BYU got to that ace. So far, so good. What BYU has to do now is turn their Thursday success into some Friday and Saturday success because BYU's been great at winning series openers. It's been carrying it over to Friday and Saturday. But, you know, Trent Pratt and the staff have kind of, thrown open the starting rotation on the weekends. They're kind of just piecing it together to you know, who works best on a given night, which I think is a cool way to go here down the stretch. And yet someone like Ashton Johnson has proven to be a great find for BYU. Excellent ball last night with 4 innings of no-hit work. And the bats have been there kind of all season. This is a good enough team to get to Arlington. I think it's going to take 2, maybe 3 more wins to do it, and there will be some scoreboard watching. It's unfortunate that BYU lost the home series to UCF, and that was 3 one-run games. BYU could have easily won all 3. Because UCF took 2 of 3, they have the tiebreak. If BYU just won 1 more game from UCF that weekend, they'd be sitting quite more comfortable right now. As it stands, they will have to grind to the finish in this one. But I'm glad that BYU has the final 3 games of the year home to Texas Tech next weekend. That should be a great weekend of baseball at Miller Park.
Last night, Nate Mickle, who works in the business school, he's a professor, former BYU receiver, former radio sideline reporter with you. Was that the game?
Yes, indeed.
Did he wear a BYU shirt or a Kansas shirt? Or neutral?
He was not. I think he was dark blue last night. I'm not sure he was sporting logos, but if he was, it was going to be BYU. Nate and I went to lunch yesterday. We tend to always get together when I come to Lawrence. And he was supporting BYU last night. He's a good Kansas employee. Yeah, he's got some obvious allegiances employment-wise, but he is a Cougar. He was a Cougar player. He was a Cougar broadcaster. He's a BYU guy.
He's
happy about what happened last night.
He showed me around campus, too, when I was at the Big 12 basketball tournament. He did a great job. So, okay, checking.
Love
just
Nate.
Wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Greg, great to talk to you. Enjoy the call tonight, and we'll look forward to that. And BYU hopefully staying comfortable in their push to get in the Big 12 tournament.
Thanks, guys. See you back next week. Bye.
The voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebell from Kansas.
As mentioned, game 2 tonight, 7 Eastern, BYU, Kansas. BYU Radio, you can listen to Greg, watch on ESPN+. Tonight at 7 Eastern, big game for the Cougars.
What are your expectations for BYU football in 2025? More responses to our question of the day after this on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Question of the day, based on something CBS Sports reporter Shihan Jayaraja said when he called BYU the most underrated team in the country, brought up expectations. So what are your expectations for BYU football in 2025?
Love it. We're underrated! We kind of love it.
Absolutely. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at @Sam_Bird on X, who says, expectations definitely 10-2.
Let's go.
But if BYU's preseason top 15-ish and in the conversation for the Big 12 title and we're still underrated, I wonder if a better expectation is 11-1 or 12-0.
I love the ambition that football and men's basketball have right now. We've never walked into a year like this. It's been awesome.
It is unique. perhaps on the precipice of another golden era. And? Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Six BYU football players are in Israel right now as a part of Athletes for Israel. Jake Retzlaff, Chase Roberts, Will Farron, Waylon Lapuahu, Tanner Wall, Talon Alfrey. During their visit, they're going to host a camp on Sunday, May 11th at the Kraft Family Sports Camp in Jerusalem of the New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who sponsors the facility. Very cool visit for these guys.
What an opportunity to go on a humanitarian trip like that. Our thanks to today's guests, Jake Retzlaff and Greg Rubel.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to our guy, Trevor Maddich. Have a great weekend, everyone, and go Cougs.